Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining us now, as previously advertised, Ben Verlander of Fox Sports. He covers baseball. And Ben Verlander, thank you for giving us a couple of minutes of your time.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, for sure. And has your brother ever thrown a no-hitter? I don't think so.
I don't think so. He's had three in his career. He might have three already this year if he was healthy.
I want to know, before we get into this no-hitter business and the number of them that we have seen already, how did you come up with the title of your podcast, Flippin' Bats, with Ben Verlander? And the reason I'm asking is because there was a time in baseball where flipping the bat would insult and offend other baseball players, and that makes me think of Odor, who's now with the Yankees, as you know, and of course Jose Bautista, and the big fight they had with the way it was with Bautista flipping the bat. So I'm wondering if the title of your podcast may offend or insult others doing a podcast themselves.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, just the game of baseball is I grew up loving it, and I love it, and I really feel like I was put on this earth to talk about baseball. And the whole point of my show is just wanting to showcase baseball in, you know, the new sort of age that we're in. You know, it's super exciting. And you have players like Tatis doing his thing, and Tim Anderson, and Shohei Ohtani. And I just want to showcase how exciting baseball can be. So when I was, you know, I sat down with Fox and we talked about certain title opportunities or ideas, and that's what we came up with, because that's the whole premise of my show, is just showcasing baseball in the fun and exciting way that it should be.
Yes, and you mentioned Ohtani. The Metropolitans have their own Ohtani, a guy by the name of Tommy Hunter, who after 14, 15 years in big league baseball got his first hit the other night against Atlanta, is a number one hit. He had been 0-for-4 in his long career as a relief pitcher, and he also scored right ahead of Villar, who had hit a two-run home run. And then Hunter, of course, pitched two scoreless innings. So that's why I say the Mets have their own Ohtani as we speak right now.
Let's I agree. I actually think Ohtani's trying to copy what Tommy Hunter is doing. When I think Shohei Ohtani, I feel like Tommy Hunter has paved the way for him, for sure.
Right, and huffing and puffing as he was coming in, all 255, 260 pounds of him. So sort of a Bartolo Colon type for the Metropolitan fan. Makes us think of Bartolo Colon when he was with the Mets, who hit a home run in his time with the Metropolitans, as you may know as well. All these no-hitters, what's your take on it?
Yeah, you know, we've seen six of them now, and my biggest fear is that I don't want it to get watered down and for it to feel like it's not a big deal. And to be honest with you, it is so far this season. It seems like every other day somebody's saying, turn on the TV, It's time, you know, a no hitter is happening. Turn on the TV. John Means is throwing a no hitter. It's crazy. And I think a big reason we're seeing it is, you know, pitchers are getting so dominant now, so disgusting. And they have so much access to numbers, so much. And if I'm in the box, if I'm a hitter, pitchers know my weakness. They know what my weakness is. And there's really nothing, a weakness is a weakness, and there's nothing I can do about it. So when pitchers are getting so dominant with the stuff that they have and also knowing every single batter's weakness, that's why we're running into this, is because it's just getting too hard for hitters.
Well, the figure that I saw the other day, collectively, Major League Baseball, now we're 25% into the season and still a lot of baseball to go, but collectively, the figure that I saw the other day was jaw-dropping and eye-opening, that collectively, Major League Baseball hitters, as you and I speak, are hitting collectively 236. So I'm wondering if we're going to have a batting champion this year hitting 240.
You know, it's funny. I feel like our batting champion is going to end up being a guy that's been out a lot of the year that just barely qualifies. Like, I feel like Trout now, who's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks, is going to come back and end up hit. You know, Trout's the best player on the planet. I think he can hit 300. But you're right. It's getting tough, man. Like, you're starting to see guys average being 230, 240, and you're like, oh yeah, not bad. Like, the threshold used to be like 280, and you're like, okay, this guy's doing pretty well.
Right. Yeah. No. And is it, what would be, though, of course, we're seeing different pitchers and batters, if they're going to get four or five plate appearances, they may see in one game four or five different pitchers. And, of course, all of them are throwing very, very hard. And, of course, the baseball now is more with, well, not on steroids as we thought a lot of it was, with so many home runs being hit. And we understand that with the baseball now, with the seams, it's easier to grip. And you get maybe better spin rate with these new baseballs, which are more dense and have more warning track power. Do you think that has something to do with it?
Yeah, you know, I think the baseball definitely has something to do with it. You know, I think it got to a point where the baseball was clearly juiced to some capacity. I mean, we were getting ridiculous home run numbers, and baseball, Major League Baseball, came out before this season and said, look, we're gonna change the baseball a little bit to knock that down. And I think what happened, and Clayton Kershaw said as much, yesterday or the day before.
Yes,
he thinks, you know, we're looking for the middle ground, and we haven't found it. I think it went a little too far from what we're seeing. Like, obviously, home run numbers are a little down, but these numbers are insane. Like, whatever it is we did with the baseball is clearly having a factor on the current state of the game. So I agree with Kershaw. I think it's going to be a little bit of tinkering and finding a middle ground with this baseball.
And I found it kind of odd, because he's a pitcher and it benefits pitchers with the baseball and nobody getting any hits. And you mentioned before about the quality of so many pitchers, and one after the other coming out of the bullpen, able to throw 98, 99, 100 already. That seems to be as commonplace as the no-hitters we have been seeing recently. Let me ask you, with the kind of pitchers that we are seeing, and the radar gun, we were talking about this with a caller right before having you come on, and you wonder how accurate it is when we see the number. As soon as the pitch hits the catcher's glove, we are reading on the screen the graphic telling us miles per hour. Do you believe that that is as accurate as we are being told?
Yeah, I think more and more so it's getting accurate. You know, it used to be every radar gun is different. And, you know, when you go into a stadium, some guns might be just 5 miles an hour. So a guy's throwing 90 and it says 95.
Right.
And more now, you know, it's fairly accurate. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day who was like, oh yeah, the gun in that stadium is juiced up a little bit, like a mile or two an hour. But for the most part, it's fairly accurate, which is insane because it does feel like everybody coming in and out of the bullpen is throwing 100 miles an hour. I mean, even when I was playing, I finished playing about 2.5 years ago. I played professionally for 5 years, and I was in the minor leagues, and every single team had a guy that would come out of the bullpen throwing 100. The problem in the minor leagues is those guys throwing 100 don't know where it's going, so that makes it even worse.
Do you get the impression that we're talking with Ben Verlander of Fox Sports, and as you can tell, he covers baseball very passionately. You know what? It does seem that today most major leaguers cannot hit anything that is a curve or a slider, and then you throw in a fastball just to show them that, and then you come back with another breaking pitch, and you end up seeing with a good many of these Major League Baseball players, Ben, the worst looking at bats, flailing about, swinging at pitches that are eye high or bouncing in the dirt a foot outside. You just can't believe what you're looking at. And these are Major League players.
Yeah, it just goes back to pitchers having ridiculous stuff on the mound now. I mean, there's certain accounts on social media that can break down, you know, multiple pitches at once and show you like the contrast. Like, you know, for example, Dustin May's sinker and Dustin May's slider. Mm-hmm. One's 100 and one is 92, mm-hmm. and they're breaking like a foot in the opposite direction. Like, what are you supposed to do as a hitter? Our whole life we've been training for a pitch coming right at us, and then you get to a certain level, and now all these pitchers are throwing 100 and it's moving all over the place. Like, right. Of course we're seeing guys flailing at pitches in the dirt. Like, it until the last second, it looks like it's right down the middle.
Yes, and guys are not as quick, and it's understandable with these pitches coming in at 98, 99, 100. Batters can't get out of the way. We saw this with Kevin Pillar the other night, getting hit in the face. And certainly it doesn't seem, when I was a kid, it seemed that the generation of baseball players that I grew up looking at and watching could get out of the way of the Don Drysdales or the Bob Gibsons, guys who would knock you off the plate, guys who would make you feel uncomfortable in the box. But the bottom line is now these guys throw so hard that if one is coming your way, it is hard to get away from it.
Absolutely. It's, you know, not only is it 100 and it's coming right at your face, it's also, you know, these pitchers have a curveball that feels like it's doing the same thing. So if you have a curveball that starts at you and you start bailing out of the way thinking it's a fastball at your face, you're going to end up made to look like a fool. And yeah. And these guys are so dominant on the mound that it's forcing you to stay in longer than you're comfortable with, because it could be a nasty pitch that comes back for a strike. And you see a pitch out of the pitcher's hand that's coming right at your face. Unfortunately, in this day and age, you're thinking, oh, okay, this is gonna break and be close to the strike zone. Mm-hmm. And in Pillar's case, unfortunately, it didn't. And it's very, very scary. Went right at his face. And I'm super thankful that he's okay. That was
sure.
Crazy.
Yeah, he wanted to get back in the lineup the very next day. Let me ask you about some of these unwritten rules with baseball that are apparently being broken, and Exhibit A could be of late with the Chicago White Sox and Mercedes swinging at a 3-0 pitch with a big lead and La Russa getting all over him. Now La Russa is in his mid to late 70s, And a lot of people, and maybe you're one of them, think he should be on the outside looking in instead of managing, because he is very old school. And we're talking about a team with young players that, of course, are very new school. And, of course, we have seen Tatis do this. And then we saw Mercedes of the White Sox do this and get reprimanded. Who is right here? I mean, do you swing? What is your thoughts about when you have a big lead, as we saw, and he's swinging 3-0 and hitting it out of the ballpark?
Yeah, so in Major League Baseball, in this day and age, baseball players are nothing more than numbers on a piece of paper. That's literally all it comes down to. At the end of the day, to the owners, What can this guy give me? Let me look at these numbers on the piece of paper, and I'll find out what I'm getting. So for people to shame somebody for just trying to make those numbers better, it's not his fault. It was a blowout game. You know, he's doing his job. Mm-hmm. So for him to and this is how he makes his living. This is how he puts food on the table for his family, is his numbers. So to tell him not to do that is ridiculous to me. And then it comes out that, you know, he missed a sign, and that can be a whole different argument. You miss a take sign. Right. My issue there becomes with La Russa again. Like, why air that out in the public? I can't tell you how often certain signs are missed, but it stays in the clubhouse. And don't come out to the public and say, he will be punished, trust me, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. That should stay in the clubhouse. Punish him internally. But your job as a manager is to defend your players and make them look better in the public eye. So for him to just come out and say Mercedes was in the wrong when the whole world is already mm-hmm. talking about him was just a little frustrating to me. But I have the utmost respect in the world for Tony La Russa as a manager. He's a Hall of Famer and obviously has been one of the best of all time. But in this situation, it's tough to be on his side.
And the bottom line is, from what I understand, everything is okay with La Russa and his team. They all, from what I understand, are on the same page. And I find that a little bit unusual, because you would think there would be a disconnect with some of the players and La Russa. But apparently, from what I understand, not the case.
Yeah, absolutely not the case. You know, you saw Lance Lynn come out, who I just had on my podcast, by the way, and talked to him about La Russa, mm-hmm. and he played for La Russa in St. Louis in 2011. So this was years ago, and now he's getting to play for him again. So you know he has the utmost respect for him, and he even came out and said all rules are off the table when a position player is pitching, and stuck up for his teammates. And then for La Russa again to come back publicly and say, well, you have a locker and I have an office and I disagree. It's almost like a reality TV show we're getting over there.
Right. Now, if you're Francisco Lindor, you know, he's the $341 million man. And already, because he's been off to the slow start, as you know, he has been hearing it from the crowd. What is your take on Francisco Lindor? Because I know what the Mets might say about his slow start. He's got 9 years and 4 months to go to turn things around. Do you think New York may be a little bit too much for him, or is it just a slow start because of maybe some pressure he's putting on himself with the contract and with the National League for the first time, and yet he's not familiar with some of the pitchers that he's facing, and just getting himself a little bit over 200. What would you say are the reasons he's off to this slow start when he came with that smile and all the energy and all the passion and seemed to be very, very happy, and who wouldn't be signing for the 10 and 341? What is your take on his slow start?
Look, I think a lot of it is mental. A lot of baseball is very mental, and you know, you're paid, in his case, very, very well to fail 70% of the time, and that's doing it really well. So it's naturally a very, very mental thing to do. Look, hitting is the hardest thing to do in sports, and continuing to become harder. And it's not only like hitting these insane pitches, it's also learning to deal with failure. And when you're struggling, it becomes really hard because you take it home with you, you take it off the field with you, an 0 for 4 turns into an 0 for 8 that can turn into an 0 for 20. And in his case, he's now in a new city trying to impress and live up to his contract in front of a whole new fan base. Look, Francisco Lindor is one of the best, most likable players in Major League Baseball. He's going to be just fine, I promise you. But it's a lot mental, and that's a big problem for him. As you walk up to the batter's box, and every time you walk up to the plate, you see your numbers in front of you on the scoreboard, and for everyone to see. And it's tough, and he's going to get out of this funk and be just fine.
A final question, Ben, and again, can't thank you enough for giving us a couple of minutes of your time. When your brother is inducted into the Hall of Fame, will you have him on your podcast?
I absolutely will at some point. You know, he's my brother, and he's 9 years older than me, and like you said, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Fingers crossed, but I feel okay about saying that. But, you know, I've always my whole life been very cognizant of creating my own path as a person and as a player. And it's not always easy. He's 9 years older than me, and he's always been in the limelight. And it's always been important to me to succeed in my own right. So now I have my show, I have my podcast, and it's super important to me. And I want to get this thing off the ground and running and being as successful as it possibly can be, and not have, you know, and my brother be like a huge reason in its success. Of course, I want to have him on at some point, but I'm going to be successful with it in my own right, and it's going to be because of who I am and who I am as a person.
Yes, that's a great answer, because it does seem that you are at peace with yourself, because you want to be known as Ben Verlander. And not Justin Verlander's brother, although I'm sure that's not going to offend you because that's also accurate. But you want to be your own guy and not be identified as Justin Verlander's brother, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's very important to me. You know, I love my brother more than anything. And, you know, I always grew up wanting to be like him. But at a certain point in my career, it became difficult, and everybody would say, you know, you're living in a shadow and you're just following blah blah blah.
Sure.
And it was very important to me to create my own path, and that's what I did in college when I switched over to just becoming a full-time position player, which was a huge career move for me, and ended up becoming an All-American in college and then playing pro ball as a position player. And look, Verlander's a very unique last name. Obviously, people are going to know the name, and I don't want to hide from it. He's my brother, and I love him.
Sure.
But I do want to create my own path and create a name for myself and be successful in my own right, and have people say, you know, I like Ben Verlander for who he is and what he has to say, and it has nothing to do with just who his brother is.
Okay. I'm not going to ask you about A-Roid, Alex Rodriguez, who did what he did as a Major League Baseball player and just about sued everybody who thought and said he was on something when he was leaving fingerprints and footprints all over the place. And yet, does crime pay, Ben? Because he has worked for Fox. He has worked and continues to work for ESPN. He just is part of what is going to be the new ownership with the NBA's Minnesota Timberwolves. Any comments about really one of your colleagues at Fox who has really tried to turn things around? And is it fair to say that crime does pay, Ben?
I would say that A-Rod personally has done an incredible job of creating a new brand for himself outside of baseball and sort of distancing himself from what happened on the baseball field. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody knows what happened, and he has been vocal about it post-playing career, and apologizing. And I think he's done a really good job of being able to turn the corner and own who he is now and announce for people and give his insight and be in the public eye now. And look, say what you want about what he did on the baseball field. You know, I don't think anybody will disagree with whatever anybody says, one way or the other. Obviously an incredible baseball player, and obviously did some stuff that even him, he himself has apologized for. But I think what is impressive about A-Rod is how he was able to transition off of the baseball field and honestly get a lot more people to like him now than I think did when he was playing. So good for him there, being able to turn the corner and at least do and say the right things in the public eye now.
Ben Verlander of Fox Sports with the baseball analyzing and host of the podcast Flippin' Bats with Ben Verlander. Ben, thank you so much for giving us a good amount of your time, and do take care of yourself. Maybe we can do it again sometime down the road.
Of course, I'd be happy to join you again, and I really appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.